I want you to take your Bible for just a moment, and I'm going to wrap this up. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. I'm just going to give a perspective on missions, and I'm going to read one verse. It's a verse that many of you would have committed to memory if you are a church person, grew up in church, Acts 1:8. And I just want to say something to you about just doing mission work. Sometimes we don't talk about it as often as we should with the focus with which we should. But let me just read the text. Are you at Acts chapter 1, verse 8? But ye, God's people, shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, folks, when does the Holy Spirit come upon you? Salvation. Let's say that together. Salvation. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit, and if you've been saved, He lives in you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, if we were going to take this and make that concurrent with our location. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me in Valdosta, in Georgia, in the United States, and to the uttermost part of the earth, because He said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Can I just talk just a second to you about mission proper, the issue of missions? A mission is an important task or task, plural, that an individual or group of individuals are given to do that will take the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the region that the Lord wants them to go. This task can be one that is assigned to the individual by a church, by a mission board, or it can just be a task that a person feels and senses in the heart. And they will feel like God has assigned that in their heart. Let me make this statement about Michaela and so many others I've known. People get excited about missions, and that's a wonderful thing. But when Michaela felt this in her heart, she committed her heart to do that, and IMB does not send people per se like she went. You got to get out and raise your funds to travel and go until you can get back. That's why numbers of us in here supported her, because that's the right thing to do. Now, through the years, and I say this with kindness, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I want to do mission work over at so-and-so, and they'd call a place, will this church send me? Well, can I just be candid with you? Probably not, unless we learn that you're out trying to raise some of your own. You get to drift. I might tell you I feel called to go to Hawaii next week. I probably won't now that it's burned away, but if I wanted to go somewhere and take a vacation, would you help me go? Folks, you got to understand that part of the commitment is being willing to pay the price in whatever way. And Michaela put her hands to the plow to make a way that she could fulfill what God wants her to do. That's part of the task, not waiting on somebody to send you. And I happen to believe that when a person shows that good faith effort, God the Holy Spirit that's been working in their heart, in this case Michaela's, opens doors and makes a way for His will and purpose to be fulfilled. I couldn't say, Lord, I believe You're dealing with me about preaching, and everything just falls into place, and I don't have to do anything. You know, folks, when Jesus told them to go wash in the pool of Siloam, now you're smart enough to figure out there wasn't nothing in the pool of Siloam that could heal your eyes or your illness. You got that figured out. Not one thing. But Jesus required them to do something by way of faith to show that they trusted in what He said. And if you won't trust to do your part of what Jesus said, to go to wash or whatever it is He has you to do, then He's not committed to fulfill His part of the task. And so if Jesus paid it all, then why would I complain about paying some part to do what I need to do? You know, can I just tell this, and you never repeat it since there's nobody here but us? We preachers occasionally can be a bunch of bellyachers. And the next time we bellyache because everything isn't right at the church. seems like when I listen closely to the Via Dolorosa as Jesus walked up the Way of Sorrows, I don't think, now we'll all read that text again maybe this week in devotions, I don't think I remember belly aching. And so if he didn't complain about what he was doing, I shouldn't complain about what I'm doing. Missions proper. Let me talk to you about missions personal. Missions is more than a trip in the summer. It's a calling as Christians. God put in Michaela's heart to do what she did. Sometimes there's what we call the career missionaries. They've been there 30, 40, some 50 years. God calls some to be what IMB refers to as journeymen for a couple of years. God calls others, as he did Michaela, to do this during the summer. And I happen to believe that if we are sensitive to the call of God, he might just call you next door to a neighbor or another part of your subdivision to a person that's been on your heart heavy. That's what God does. Could be in your hometown, could be near your hometown, could be in a neighboring state or city. It could be short term or it could be long term. Missions personal. I lastly want to mention to you missions partnership. I've alluded to that. Now, you know that we talk a lot in the church about the Great Commission. And we talk about Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And a commission is a command or an order. And in the case of the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe, meaning to do whatsoever I've commanded you. And Jesus said, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the Lord does not give a specific call to every single individual to actually go to a different part of the world. I had someone intimate to me that he just felt like if you've never been on an overseas mission trip, that you failed God. Now, folks, wait a minute. What would you think if I said to you, if you've not pastored a church, you failed God? Well, you'd say, he's a nut. Why? Because God doesn't call everybody to pastor a church. The we who he calls, we're no better than anybody else. And those God calls, hallelujah. We ought to pray for them and do all we can to encourage them. But it could be that those who go could not go as well as they go if it was not for the faithful people that many times are praying from the pew and helping in the local churches and doing what they do. Think about, as we try to encourage and pray for the BCM and our own students, what do you suppose God's going to do with them 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? Did you pray for them? Did you do something to encourage them? God, folks, has got a set of books and doesn't miss one thing, and you will be part of what is rewarded because you tried to point the way and help the way and encourage them and get them on down the road to where God was calling them to go. I'm thankful that people go everywhere, that God will give an open door. And we do what we do in a commission that's in our hearts so that we can just further the gospel of Christ, which we want to see go to the ends of the earth. You agree with that? I remind us that one of the smartest Jews that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. And sometimes we Gentiles forget, he said, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek, meaning we Gentiles. Aren't we glad that he added Gentiles into it? The gospel is for the whole wide world. And we just want to tell the good news. We want people to know that he is God's son, that he came to the earth to give his life so that the penalty for our sin could be paid. That's the way we try to do it in Valdosta. That's the way it's done to any faithful group of New Testament believers anywhere. And tonight we've been blessed to hear the experience of one young lady who has just kind of gone what you and I would say, an additional mile that the average person in the pew never goes. And by the way, where do you suppose 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, Michaela Stone will be? Whose lives will she be touching? And you know, when our Sunday school teachers teach our smallest of children, you know, there was a day, we happen to know this because he's a Georgian, There was a day the little old boy that nobody knew anything out named Jimmy Carter was in a Sunday school class. Now, I don't know who his Sunday school teacher was at that time, but I asked the question, do you suppose had he known he was going to be the leader of the free world one day, he might have taken just a little more pains with him, spent more time, greater encouragement, which leads me to say this, we never know when we're looking at these little children that sometimes are snotty-nosed, and you think, that kid, somebody needs to tell that kid to sit down. It may be one of these days God's going to tell that kid, get up and go. And we want to have used all the influence we have, spend the time we do, as an investment in their lives for the sake of the gospel. And by the way, it's not unusual that somebody does need to tell a little kid to sit down. My mother told me on one occasion to quit, and I was laying in a church pew. I didn't much like that, and back in those days, you didn't have padded pews. They're just wooden pews, and I kicked like a horse. Bum, 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 bum. And I found myself going out to a green bush right outside of church, and she wore me out. Nobody would have thought in that day that there'd come a day I'd be the pastor of a church. But God knew. God's at work, folks. And in a world that is terribly dark and a whole lot of mess going on politically, economically, and otherwise that we don't even want to think about, can I reassure you of something? There is a God. There is a God who is sovereign. That sovereign God has a plan. And though I can't make it all piece together, God is putting it together. And right now, He is at work. And the thing that reality behooves me to ask privately in my own heart before a holy God, Wayne, is He really working in your heart? And I would ask you to ask that question. Is He really working in your heart? Folks, if there were 100 of us in the room and God's working in 99 lives, but He's not working in mine, that's not good enough. I want Him working in mine, and I think you want Him working in your heart. Are we tonight in a position for God just to do in us whatever pleases Him? To quote Michaela, if God's stirring your heart for anything, you need to do it, because it's too serious not to live in the will of God. Folks, when time is no more and we stand before Him, all that's going to matter is His will. Are we doing it? That's the question. That's still the mission, to take His name everywhere we go. Why don't we stand together and have prayer? And I'm going to issue a type of invitation. And let me tell you what the invitation consists of. I'm going to ask you, is God dealing with you in some respect? And it may not be missions, it may be something else. You know, David too over there that's coming to lead the song, God dealt with him one day about the area of music and ministry. Is God dealing with some of you about that? Is God dealing with you like He did with Nipper regarding working with young people? Is God dealing with another generation, John Yates? You have a burden for the education program of the local church. Or is God telling you, you're one of those, I want to go to the Northwest and be working on an Indian tribe there. I want you to go to this part of the world. Folks, it's not about me having to decide. It's about me needing to be sensitive to what God is wanting me to do and be willing to say, dear Lord, whatever You would have me do, I'm willing to do. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank You for the obedience of people to be in Your will and do Your work. And Lord, as a little child, You sent people into my community to serve in the church as the pastors. And Lord, You called the laity of that church to teach me Sunday school, to keep me when I was in the nursery, and to just in that group they call the cradle roll. And then in the beginners, and then in what was called the juniors and the intermediates. And Lord, You've just put people in my pathway to help me and encourage me and pray for me and teach me and love me. Are we, Lord, going to be able to look back in that moment when we stand before You in that moment of glory and be grateful that we gave ourselves in some measure to touch somebody with the gospel? Bless these moments of decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as Brother David leads us, if you want to just come and pray, if you want me to pray.